Well, good morning again. I guess after that, let me just close in prayer. Because they pretty much said it all. We can just close in prayer. We'll get done early. But it's truly an honor and a privilege to get up here and preach this morning. And but with that comes a lot of responsibility. So I just want to make sure that I can bring a clear message this morning. So if you want to open your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in front on the chairs in front of you. If you want to grab a Bible, if you don't have one. Yeah. Thanks, Dan. And Dan drank mine, so that's why he brought me one. So I know. It's okay. So open your Bibles to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. That's the text today, as you've heard in the beautiful song that was already sung. That was beautiful, Dan. Good job. So I'm going to go ahead and read the text, and then I'll pray. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against the house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So I'm going to go ahead and just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you, the sovereign God, has given to us. Help me to bring forth a clear message this morning, that it will bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So before we dive into the text, I just want to go through a little background on the Sermon on the Mount and a little context here before we get into the text. So the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' famous sermon that takes up chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. Our Lord here is contrasting true religion with false religion. This is a religious system of works, self-righteousness, and was created by man based on Scripture, mainly the Old Testament. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is to expose the false form of religion, the corruption of true biblical religion that was practiced by the Jews under the leadership of the Pharisees and scribes. The main point in the Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew 5:20, where Jesus says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." MacArthur says also about this, "In saying the true righteousness exceeds the kind displayed by the scribes and Pharisees, Jesus said that whatever they did with man-made tradition, they did not live up to the standards of Scripture." So they, the leaders of the Jewish system, had turned it into a religion of works, where you earn your way into heaven. The question then is, how righteous do you have to be? How righteous do you have to be? Jesus addresses that a little later in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 48. Jesus says, "Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." So who can do that? As they say, nobody. Nobody. Only God is perfect. So if we go back to Matthew 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, 10 verses earlier, Jesus is closing the Sermon on the Mount with an invitation or a command. In Matthew 7, in verses 13 and 14, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. So that's the command and the invitation from Jesus. If the narrow path that leads to the kingdom refers to the obedience to Jesus' teaching, then the entire section of verses 13 through 23 in Matthew 7 closely connects with the last illustration or parable that Jesus mentions in the Sermon on the Mount in verses 24 to 27. Here Jesus uses a simple story. Two men build houses. One man is wise, and one man is a fool. With these two builders, we see many similarities, but there are also some fundamental differences. So let us look first at the similarities. Both men build a house. Both builders have heard the words of Jesus. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, in verse 24, applies to the wise man. And in verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man. So they both have heard the way of salvation. Next, both builders build their houses in the same location. This is clear by the houses getting hit by the same storm. They live in the same town, possibly in the same block. True believers and false believers can live side by side. The third similarity is they build the same kind of house. Visibly, their houses were very much alike. From a distance, it appears the foolish man lived much the same way as the wise man. They both were religious, orthodox, moral, lived as good citizens, and in a community, and they seem to believe and live alike. Both builders have confidence in their houses will stand. So from that, let's look at the contrast. The wise man's confidence is in the Lord's, and the fool's confidence is in himself. By far the greatest differences between these builders and the way they built their houses is in their foundations they laid. The wise man built his house upon the rock, which in Greek is Petra, which means a rock bed. And the foolish man built his house upon the sand. In Greek, this word comes from Amman. So the question next comes up is, what is the rock? And what do the people do who build their house or life on the rock? The house built on the rock is a life that empties itself of pride and self-righteousness. The rock is described in the passage, verse 24, whoever hears these words of mine and acts on them builds on the rock. The rock is the words of Jesus. Also, God is the rock and Christ is the cornerstone. Jesus is saying here in the Sermon on the Mount that these sayings of mine are the rock bed foundation of the true church. In a parallel passage in Luke chapter 6, verses 47 through 48, Jesus says in this passage, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood rose and the storm broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. The wise man is not in a rush. He works hard to dig deep for a strong foundation. He digs deep. Those who are true followers of Christ are willing to dig deep into the rock of God's word. There's no shallowness with the wise builder because he does not build his life or place his hope on traditions, rituals, ceremonies, feelings, or experiences, but on the word of God and that alone. The wise builder gives his maximum effort. And I can remember when I was growing up in college, I used to do construction, build homes. And the foreman, when I first started, you know, he pulled me over and he said, "Hey, look, in this operation, we measure twice and cut once." I'm sure a lot of guys have heard that before. Measure twice and cut once. That's what a wise builder does. Measure twice and cut once. The man who builds his house on the sand is similar to the scribes and Pharisees. They had built a complex system of religious rules and traditions which they regarded as having great value before God. But all these rules and traditions were external, very superficial, and unstable. They were shifting sand made up of human opinions, human attitudes, and human philosophies. These men made up the system of religion and followed it, had no regard for God's word. Their only concern was to be praised by men. Matthew 6:2 says, and this is Jesus speaking also, "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others." Arthur Pink quote here, "They bring their bodies to the house of prayer, but not their souls. They worship with their mouths, but not in spirit and in truth. They have more regards for the laws of men than those of God, for God's fear is not before their eyes." That's a great quote by Arthur Pink. The sand is composed of human ideas, human feelings, human choices, which are always changing. To build your house or life on sand is to build on yourself, relying on the world and not on God's word. To build on sand is to be unteachable. In 2 Timothy 3:7, Paul says, "Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." MacArthur states also, "To build the house of one's life on sand is to follow the ultimate deception of Satan, which is to make a person believe that he is saved when he is not, because that person is under the delusion that he is safe. He sees no reason to either to resist Satan or to seek God." So the question becomes, why would anyone build on sand? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to build your life on sand? The fool builds on sand because it's easy. The easy way is attractive to many. Number one, it's quick. Fools are always in a hurry, looking for shortcuts and quick results. You don't have to dig. You don't even have to dig deep. You don't have to prepare. You just slap up the house or your life. Measure once, cut once, and cut fast. The fool's first desire is to please himself. The second reason is that the foolish man is superficial, very superficial, and shallow in regard to Christ. They want Jesus to fix their lives, to give them a boost and a free pass to avoid hell. These fools are on the wide road. There is no hard work, no deep digging, no spade work, no brokenness of heart. Another commentator says, "If I have never mourned over my waywardness, then I have no solid ground for rejoicing." You see all the sand builders today, and we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school. You look at all the popular Christian books, cable preachers on TV, easy believism in churches. Right now, I see it as there's a mass building on sand today. The next question that comes to mind is, so what is the storm? What's the storm all about? The storm is judgment. And I'm going to quote Wiersbe because I think he defines this very good. Quote, "A false profession will last until judgment comes. Sometimes this judgment is in the trials of life, like the person who received the seed of God, God's word into a shallow heart, Matthew 13:4 through 9. The commitment fails when the testing comes. Many people have professed faith in Christ only to deny their faith when life becomes costly and difficult. The storm will include final judgment before God. The greatest difference between these two builders is the final destination. Those of us who have trusted Christ and have proved by our faith, by our obedience to him, will have nothing to fear. We have our house built on the rock, and it will stand. But those who have said they trust Christ and did not obey God's will be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That's from Mark 9:47-48. So what is the application to us? A wise person is one who builds his house or life on the rock. They put Jesus' words into practice. 1 John 2:3 says, "And by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Obedience to God's word is a proof of salvation and is the foundation in this parable. It is a validation that you recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. James 1:22 says, "Prove yourselves doers of the word." Those who pretend to have faith build on sand. They have merely an intellectual commitment and there's no obedience. Titus 1:16 says, "They profess they know God, but in their works they deny him." Also in Proverbs 30:12, it says, "There is a kind who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness." So in summary, in the parable of the two builders, the wise man builds his house or life on the rock. The rock is Jesus' words. The foundation of the house or his life is obedience to God's words. The wise man's home or life will survive the storm. The fool builds his life or house on the sand. As described earlier, the sand is false religion, what is made up of human ideas, feelings, rules, and self-righteousness. The ultimate end for him will be destruction. So just some final questions here. You just have to ask yourself, where is your house or life built? Is it on rock or sand? So look at your life, examine it. Is your foundation to obey the word of God, or is it a life of disobedience and justifying that disobedience? So in closing, I'm just going to read Psalm 27:1-6. This is a great scripture because it uses the rock in a similar manner. Psalm 26:1-6. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers come against me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies stumble and fall. Though an army deploys against me, my heart is not afraid. Though a war breaks out against me, still I am confident. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. For he will conceal me in his shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Then my head will be high above my enemies around me." So just like John was saying in Sunday school today, you know, I woke up, I think, at 2 o'clock this morning, and I was getting kind of excited about this message. And before I pray, I just want to, you know, I give credit to, I have two really good people that help me out, editors, what I call them, my wife and Pastor John. And they're both straightforward. They just tell me the way it is, and I appreciate that. And so they really help me out, my two editors. And I also want to say one thing about our church. before I close in prayer. This church is built on the rock. It really is. You know, we've been through a tough year this past year with all the stuff that's gone on. I won't go into all that. You all know about that. But this church has dug deep into the rock, into the scripture, into Christ's words. And they've laid that foundation on that rock, the leadership. And they've been obedient to the word. And we've withstood the storm. Amen? So let me just close in prayer. Father in heaven, the word is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Thank you for telling us the truth. Shine the light of the glory of the gospel into the hearts of those who are deceived, that they may become not just those who say, but those who do, whose lives are built on obedience to your word out of love for you. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.